All right. Jeremiah 12, verse 5. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trusted, they wearied thee, then how will thou do in the swelling of Jordan? I'm going to cease reading with this one verse here tonight. Grandpa leased 6 acres of land whenever I was a young teenage boy. And, of course, my cousins, I had one younger and one older than me. And then I had a couple of uncles, and we were all going to work together. Us men were going to work together, and we were going to plant those 6 acres with corn. But we wasn't going to do it the way that people do it now. We're going to do it. Of course, Grandpa had a little farm all, and so he was able to at least make up the rows for us. And they were the longest rows I ever seen in my life. And, of course, I was a young boy, so they looked even longer at that time. But he made those rows, and everything else had to be done by hand. Grandpa could have done it different. But he was raising grandsons. He was teaching boys and even, I dare say, some uncles and my daddy as well to be men. And he had a way of doing that. Grandpa just had a way about him. And I tell you what, the more I see things change today, the more I miss those old ways. I miss those old times. It just seemed like things were slower. People put more time into things that mattered. You know, family matters. Training up boys, training up daughters, that matters. And I think we're seeing the result of a world that does not believe that anymore. They don't see a need in training up their children. And their children rule over them. And so I'm very thankful for my raising. Some people say, well, you're just simple and everything was simple-minded. You might even charge Grandpa and me and everybody else in my family with having a simple-minded way of looking at things. But we took old Row Buster and we broke those rows open. And he had every one of the boys took turns. And we had to drop fertilizer by hand. About every 10 inches apart, over the entire 6 acres, we had to go between that and we had to drop 2 kernels of corn, not 3, not 5, not 1, 2. Of course, Grandpa kind of walked them rows every now and then to check, make sure it looked right, and then we had to come behind that with a hoe. And by the time we all got to turn on that row buster to break those rows, we hot. It's hot. I'm tired. This is just too much. And Grandpa said, we hadn't even got started yet. And that's one of them statements I didn't care for back in that day. You know, we haven't even got started yet. And the thought of that just overwhelmed me. Oh my goodness. You know, he's right. We haven't even got started yet and we're already burnt out. We're tired. We're hot. And, you know, I watch those cousins. They bellyache about it and moan and groan, and Grandpa said, you better get back to work. Better get back to work. And little by little, we got that field planted and then had to come back later and lay it by. We had to come back later and we had to hand pick it too. And then we had to take it to, I don't even know what the contraption's called, Brother Mike, but a decobber, maybe. We had to put it in the thing and turn the handle and it spin the corn and get all the corn off of the cob. And we put that up for hogs and for feed and probably for his deer hunting and everything else. We made grits and, you know, things like that. But I tell you that, not just I'm trying to tell you a story, but Grandpa had this idea, if you boys don't learn how to work now, you're going to have a hard life ahead of you. If you don't learn some things now, and looking back on that, the project does not seem near as big as it did for a young boy, especially a young boy that had never taken on a project of that magnitude. And looking back, I said, well, I could do that now. But then it just seemed that's just too much. That's just too much to ask. I mean, what are we getting out of this? Little did we know he was just raising us up. Listen again, if you've run with the footmen and you're weary, how are you going to contend with horses? Think about that. I want to try to preach tonight on the thought of weak Christians. What is a weak Christian? I hear a lot of people say, I just feel like I'm such a weak Christian. And a lot of times you see Christians are just overwhelmed by things. What makes us weak? You are a child of God. I am a child of God. What makes me weak? I have Christ within me. I am an heir of promise. I am a son of God. Everything that He has is mine. I'm His son. He loves me. He's not going to withhold anything from me that I need. So what makes me a weak Christian? You know, what is our strength? If I'm a weak Christian, what is our strength? Christ is our strength. So if I'm weak, then I must have left Him, haven't I? I've left that source of my strength. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord. There is a joy in being close to the Lord. There's a joy in knowing that I am right where I need to be at this present time. I'm right where God would have me to be. Even though things are going on around me, I know that I am where I need to be. There's a joy in that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So I'm going to ask you something tonight. How are you handling the trials that are sent your way? And I sent that way for a reason. None of this slipped up on God. You're not facing anything tonight that God didn't know about already. You're not facing anything that's God said, well, that is more than He is able to handle with my help. The things that are sent our way are sent to help us get stronger. The little trials of the day, the little problems that arise. I think about Elisha and how that he's out and these men, they are chopping trees down to build a cabin. And one man has went the burning axe and he's chopping the tree down. And when he does, he breaks it off and it goes into the water. And he acts just like I do. Alas, master, it was borrowed. Not even mine. I didn't have the money to buy my own axe. I had to borrow one. I sure don't have the ability to go repay this man his axe. The man of God, he just looks to the Lord. And the Lord blesses. That's one of my favorite stories in Scripture. I have a lot of favorite stories. That's one of my favorite stories because that is so simple. It's one of those little pet peeves of life. It's not a major problem, but it's one of those little foxes that spoil the vines, that spoil the grapes. It's one of those things that makes life miserable is whenever you're doing things and those little problems arrive. But look how a man of God, he just looks to the Lord and the Lord blesses. If we could learn that. Or if we could learn to respond to life that I'm going to look to the Lord no matter the size of the problem, no matter if it's this little small thing. A lot of times when we face these big, huge problems, oh my goodness, somebody's sick, somebody's in trouble, somebody's had an accident, oh look at the country, look, we've got to get on our knees and plead to the Lord to help us because it's so big, but we let these little things eat us up. So how are you handling these little trials that come your way? Are you walking by faith? We know that the just shall live by faith. If we're going to please God, we've got to live by faith. There's no way around it. I think maybe sometimes we just kind of coasting through life, but I believe God has put us at a point in life where we're going to have to walk by faith. He's not going to take anything less. Are you walking by faith? Are you rising above the trials that come your way? Are you living in doubt and you're sinking beneath them? Take Daniel for an example. How did one day his life changed forever? The Babylonians came and they took him captive. Hard to comprehend. Living free 1 minute, next minute you're not. You reckon he had some emotions he had to deal with? You reckon he had some anger issues he had to iron out? You reckon there's any thoughts that were very discouraging thoughts? Because, man, I was free one minute. Next minute, it's gone. I'm in Babylonian captivity. They took him. They began to try to... They find out, first of all, this is a goodly man. This is a man without a blemish in him, and he's a man that's also a very intelligent man. And so we can use this man for our own personal gain. We will brainwash him. We will school him how to be like us Babylonians. We'll teach him our language. We'll teach him our customs. We'll teach him how to deal with matters of business the Babylonian way. We will change his name. We will change his diet. We will change everything about him. I tell you what, that's enough to make people stressed. Somebody come along and try to change everything you've ever known. It stresses you out. Somebody come along and tell you you got to eat different way you're eating. How do you respond? That doctor says, I tell you what, you can't eat that fried food anymore. How do you respond? I'll eat fried chicken if I want to. Well, that's probably how we act. Then the doctor said, well, that's probably the reason you're in shape you are. Stubborn. But we don't like that. I'm sure Daniel had to deal with all that, but he purposed in his heart. That's how he dealt with what he was doing, these trials that were coming his way. Now we looked at it and said, my goodness, that was huge trials, but they got bigger. The trial got much bigger than that. But he purposed in his heart, they are not going to defile me. I am going to live my life serving the Lord, even down here in captivity. Better learn to run with the footmen now, because the lions were on deck. One thing to tell some man, I'm not going to eat that. That was probably hard. It's probably hard. I'll eat pulse. That don't even sound good. I don't know. I've never ate pulse. I don't know just what it would taste like. But I mean, if I said I'll eat grits the rest of my life, I'd get old after a while. Eat oatmeal the rest of my life, I'd get old after a while. He made up his mind. I'm not going to let them defile me, even if I have to make some sacrifices here. It's not going to happen. And so he begins to, he purposes in his heart, and he begins to live faithful to the Lord, even though things have changed on him. And the next thing you know, the lions come up. If you bow down to your God, you're going to be cast into the lions then. He was able to run with the horses at that time, wasn't he? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. If we do not have faith in the least things, how can we expect to have faith in the greater things? I hear a lot of talk in our day and time about what I would die for. What are we living for? We need to live for the Lord every day so that whenever the time comes, if we do have to die for something, we'll be ready. God gave Noah a task. Build an ark. I want you to build an ark. Seems like a pretty big task God would ask of him, but I dare say that the task got bigger. So I tell you, most men, I know some are different, but most men kind of, once they get to build a project, if that's what they've got to do, they kind of enjoy it. After a while, you know, hammering a nail, get up every day, you've got something to do, you're watching things being accomplished, starting to take shape. It's a big project. There's no doubt about that. But God said, do it, and he starts doing it. And he's probably able to look at that and see, well, I can see this thing taking shape. kind of enjoying myself. But God also said, I want you to preach to whoever comes by. Preach to him. He's a preacher of righteousness. I think things probably got hard after a while. You preach and 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 nobody ever responds. Not only they don't respond, but they mock him. They probably tell him how foolish he is building a boat out in the middle of nowhere. He keeps on going. He keeps on going. But I believe things got even harder after that because God shut the door of the ark and the rain began to fall. And the reality, destruction. After a while, you know, you quit hearing the screams. After a while, you know God has dealt judgment upon the earth. And then you just float on that boat about a year. Somewhere, I don't know, somewhere 200 days to a year at least that he's on that boat, that ark. But Noah, let's go back to the very beginning. All these trials he's going through, everything he's had to deal with, you go back to the beginning, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There he is. He's living faithful in a crooked time when everybody's thoughts and imaginations of their heart is wicked continually. You have a man that is living faithful to the Lord, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? How often an older person come along, looked at the youth, and they said, I tell you what, you just don't have any idea what hard is yet. I hear that all the time. As you see one of them getting about to get married, I tell you what, y'all don't know what y'all in for. See one 15, 16 years old, they complaining and all the things they're dealing with. I tell you what, son, this is the best time of your life. You have no idea what you're in for. I'm going to tell you something about being 15 or 16 years old. Sometimes that's not a picnic. It is just the right size trial for their life at that time. And as they live, they will face other trials. Young people, listen, God is God and His faithfulness endures through the greatest trials you'll ever face. When I first started preaching, I went through some things I thought, my goodness, if it gets worse than what I'm dealing with right now, there'd be no way to make it. No way to make it. I look back on that now and I say, you know what? That was not even a molehill. What? But I'm glad I went through it, Brother Joy. I'm glad I had to go through those things. I'm glad I had to go through those trials, those things that kept me up at night and tears rolled down my face. There's times whenever, no doubt, I would get up and the floor would be wet with tears because of things that I was going through. And I look back on that now and I say, you know what? It never was as bad as I really thought it was at the time. It was the worst thing that possibly could have happened. But I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for those trials because God has brought me to where I am today. Look over at Jude. Seems like we've been going over there a lot lately. Verse 1. Jude, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. earnestly contend for the faith. You know, when I look back at those old saints, Peter, Jesus let him know, even though he was an apostle, and even though he had been out and maybe cast out devils, and he had been a man that had walked on water at least for a moment in time, and yet the Lord told Peter, Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Now, in Peter's mind, that I believe that threw him for a loop, because in his mind, Lord, I know I'm as close to you as anybody. I know if you can depend on anybody in this world, you can depend upon me. And yet, the Lord knew his heart. And he knew you've got to be converted on some things before you can really be effective. You're going to have to be converted on some things. I believe Peter thought he was strong. I believe in a sense he was. I believe he was a very bold man. I believe he's a very courageous man. He would have made a good warrior probably in David's army. Go back and read about David's mighty men, and you find that he had great men that fought and their hands would cleave to the sword. I believe Peter would have been a good man like that, and yet the Lord let him know, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. He was ready to fight with the sword. The Lord expected more out of him. He was not ready to allow himself to be a living sacrifice. He's willing to die with the sword, but he was not willing to be a living sacrifice. And so, yes, he denied the Lord, but he was strengthened. Who's he strengthened? We Christians, what's our strength? The Lord is our strength. He was strengthened. Peter was a man, he did earnestly contend for the faith. Paul, what did he say? I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. He earnestly contended for the faith, didn't he? I believe if you saw Paul, you knew him personally, I believe you said, I'll tell you what, if anybody has ever contended for the faith, that man has. But he went through trial after trial after trial after trial, and through it all, he looked to the Lord. There was a time when he pleaded with the Lord, Lord, I've got this thorn in the flesh. Will you please take this thorn from me? I don't want it anymore. And he besought the Lord three times, and the Lord let him know, no, I'm not going to take it from you. You need it. There's a messenger from Satan to buffet you, that you won't be lifted up in pride. He said, my grace is sufficient. And so Paul said, I will, therefore, glory in these infirmities. Contending for the faith. He learned little by little to contend for the faith. He learned how to be abased and how to abound. He was consistent through the trials. That's what I'm getting at. You know, if you feel like, well, I'm a weak Christian, I want to encourage you tonight to look to the Lord. He is your strength, and continue. Keep on keeping on. Contend for the faith. Paul understood his purpose, and he gloried in those infirmities. Jude, it's needful that I exhort you to earnestly contend for the faith. Now, we're not earning salvation, you know that. We're not trying to hold on to salvation. We're living by faith. The just shall live by faith, even when the going gets tough. Giving ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. That's our reasonable service. It's reasonable for God to ask us this. And it is our honor to spend and be spent. These young people used to sing Amazing Grace, but there's a part of that verse that said, the earth will soon dissolve like snow. Some of the times going to be different on this old world. You know what? The Word, even during that time, the Word will endure forever. The faith. Earnestly contend for this. It's worth living for. It's worth dying for. If I throw it down into small things, why would I pick it up into big things? We've been called to stand. if we have something to stand for. What I mean by that, if you're saved, if you have been saved, you're sealed, child of God, you have something to stand for. And we stand in the small things. We stand when the bigger things come. Too often we look at the things surrounding us and we doubt. We must look through them to the promises that have been made to us by God Himself. Look beyond all the noise that's going on. Look beyond it. Look through it. And see beyond that there's been promises that's been made to His people. There's been promises made to us. Just keep on keeping on. I tell you what, you look at men that contended for the faith. Stephen, he stood for the Lord. And when the time come, the Lord stood for him. I don't know that there could be a greater honor for a human being on this earth than to know you lived your life in such a way that when the time come, the Lord stood up for you. Are you running with the footmen? Horses may be next. Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. He desired to have old Job. He desired to have Peter. He desires to have you too. He wants to take a child of God and he wants to render us absolutely useless. He wants to make us good for nothing. Salt that's lost its savor, good for nothing. So that our influence, so that we can't influence those in this world. He can keep us viewing all these little things, being overwhelmed by little things that come our way. Then we're going to be pretty useless when it comes to winning souls. That's what it's about. Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Are you converted? Come what may, if God be for us, who can be against us? He is our strength. Last verse.